So I'm going to try to be short. But listen, I'm expect you to stay hooked up because God gave me some really good stuff this week. This is from Him. It's not from me. There's a lot of word in here. You can see it on the board. There's a lot of scriptures. So let's stay hooked up. And I think what this is going to happen at the end, I think He's going to give us an opportunity to come back and praise Him again. So we're going to lean on Sister Lindsay and Sister Teresa again later, I think, right? I believe this is how it might go. So joy and peace. God dropped this in my spirit this week. It was Monday morning, just after 6 o'clock. It was about 6:05, 6:10, somewhere in there like that. And I was at work, and He dropped in my spirit joy. Actually, He dropped it in my spirit about peace, and then joy came later in there. So Psalms 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength, in whom I will trust. That's where your peace is in His presence, right? My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. That word there, horn, means the strength, right? He's the strength that's in our salvation. Everything that we need comes through Him. He is the source. He's not a source. He's the source, right? Yeah. Amen? Yes. Oh, y'all are going to have to get a little more excited about this. I've been excited about this all week. Think about the peace. If you're here this morning, heard Pastor Brenda talk about the peace and about how she got out of peace a little bit because she got out of His presence a little bit. Amen. We got to get in His presence and continue to go back to His presence and live right next to His presence, right? So we want to operate in peace. You know, a lot of times we get into lack and we get into need and we get into to division and we get distractions. Amen. We've been dealing with distractions all week. I know some of you all been dealing with distractions this morning just to get here. And I see several, at least a few families that are gone this morning. And that might have something to do with distractions. I don't know what the case is. But you get what I'm saying. In Psalms 91:4, it says, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler, right? So you can imagine this big bird with his little babies on his wing. I saw a duck, it was, last night in the Antarctic last night, and it would sit there through a snowstorm, and the snow would stack up, and there'd just be a little spot melted where the duck was breathing out of its head, and it had its babies all underneath there. And it protected those babies. It sat there through that freezing until that snow thawed off of them. Then those ducklings could come out and go into the water of the snow melt. Amen. I picture that as God. If we'll stay under His wings, He stays right there and He protects us. He keeps us warm. He keeps us safe all the time. All the time if we'll just stay tucked up under there. But He gave us a free will. We can get out of there if we want to. Amen. You can get out from under those wings if you want to, but that doesn't go so well for us. In John 14:27, it says, Jesus gave us His peace. His peace He left with us. He gave it. He said, here's my peace. Here's my peace, son. Here's my peace, daughter. You take it. It's yours. It's yours. Why are we worried? Why are we stressed out? Why are we trying to figure things out when He gave us His peace? Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, you can't even figure it out, you can't even comprehend it, will guard your hearts and your minds. What's in your heart and your mind? Think about it. He'll guard your thoughts. He'll guard those things if you stay in that peace, if you stay under those feathers, if you stay in that fortress. Right. Amen? Amen? Think about that. Guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So we don't have to think those thoughts. We don't have to be stressed out. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be trying to figure out how we're going to make ends meet, how we're going to make things happen. He'll guard us from those things if we'll just stay in our refuge. Where is our refuge? It's in His presence. It's in His presence, right? Right where the fullness of joy is. If He's our fortress and we're in our fortress, what in the world is there to worry about? What is there to worry about? What are you fretting about? Think about it. What do we allow to distract us from that place? This is really good. I see a few of you taking notes. You should be. Think about that. What do we allow to distract us from that fortress, to draw us out of that safe place, to get out there and have to worry and stress and fret and struggle? Yeah. There's no reason for it. There's no purpose for it. We just have to go back to Him. Just go back to Him. Just crawl back up under that big giant wing and stay there where it's warm and safe at, right? He'll hold you through the shelter. He'll hold you through the good times. He'll hold you through the bad times, right? There's absolute peace when you're in God. Think about those little ducklings. When they're up under their mama, they're just in peace. They don't even know what's going on outside. And you know what else? They don't care. They don't care. They stay up under there. She plucks the down out from underneath of her, and she puts it on the ground. So it's padded warm. And there was people that come around and hunt those that down after that. And it's worth a fortune. It's worth a big money because they use it in clothing. But those little ducks have that, and it's free to them. Yeah. And they can hide up underneath their mama. They don't even get one drop of snow on them. Not one drop of water on them. Yeah. They're warm, and they're fed, and they're in their fortress, right? When we rest in his presence, it brings peace. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to stress out. Yeah. It's going to be all right. Amen? And you know that it's going to be all right because you know that he's got it. Yes. In his presence, there's joy also. Yes. There's joy in Psalm 16 and 11. This isn't the whole verse, but this is a piece of the verse. The presence, in the presence of the Lord, is fullness of joy. Yes. Fullness of joy. Peace that surpasses understanding. This ain't a little bit of peace. Yeah. This ain't a part of a piece of peace. This isn't a little bit of joy. It's not a, yeah, that's better. It's a fullness of joy, a peace that you can't even understand. You can't comprehend where it even all came from. And when people look at you, they can't comprehend it either. What in the world are you so happy about? It's snowing outside. Amen. But you're just up under that wing. Amen. Even through the storm. Remember what God gave me about in the cemetery, about the anointing coming up and just laying back in the anointing? Do you remember that? Laying back in the anointing. If you weren't here, God, I was in my truck praying. I pray in the cemetery sometimes. And he showed me like the anointing just came up around the bottom of my face and I just could lay back in it. And I know I've been a strong swimmer since I was a kid, and I've swum across some big bodies of water, some lakes and the Missouri River and things. But when you get wore out, when you get tired out there, you can just lay back in that. You know you got a place where you can rest at. And he showed me that you can lay back in that anointing. You can lay back in his presence, and you can just rest in that, right? You can just rest in his presence. Amen. That anointing is him. That anointing you feel when we come in this building and you feel that anointing, that's him. That's him. That's his glory manifesting in this place. That's him making himself real to us. You can rest in that. You can be assured in that. It's true, and it's real. Amen. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but those who wait upon the Lord, notice it doesn't say get in front of the Lord. Notice it doesn't say tell the Lord how to take care of your business. Amen. Notice it says those who wait upon the Lord. Those who wait, sometimes you can't just go kick the door open and he's right there. Sometimes you got to go wait a minute to get into his presence, right? You get into his presence. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, if you live right there next to the spiritual realm, you can get over there pretty quick. But if you ain't been there for a while, you know, my family used to be anyway. My family don't come around me too much anymore since I serve God. A lot of them don't. But I could walk over to most of their houses and open the door up and walk in. Amen. Because I was there every day. And it was just like walking in my house. And I could go in their refrigerator and get in their refrigerator. They did the same thing at my house. Amen. But if you ain't been around for a while, you knock. And you check and see if it's all right to come in first. Amen. Because they may not be expecting you. God's always, God. I'm not saying you can surprise God, but sometimes it takes us a while to get into his presence when we haven't been there for a while. Does that make sense? It takes us a little longer when it's been a while. Now, you can get a boost supernaturally. God can bring you right into it, but pressing in our own, we have to discipline ourselves, but to discipline ourselves and press in on our own, it takes a little bit. It's dry. It's dry when we haven't been there in a while. But when we can step right over in there, when we're living right next to it, it's exciting. It's exciting, and it's fresh, and it's brand new all the time, right? So those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You can renew your strength because it's not on you anyway. He's already got this. We know that he's got this. Our faith in our spirit, man, we know his word tells us. His word tells us his promises are yes and amen. So what are we stressed out about? Why do we need to burn our strength up worrying about how we're going to do it or what's going to take place? Amen. When we just have to wait upon him. Just, I'm not saying don't go to work. That's not biblical. The Bible also says if a man don't work, he don't eat. If God gives us means to do things, we need to do those things. But I'm talking about spiritually. Waiting upon the Lord spiritually, right? They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Our pastor used to talk about, he used to use the scripture all the time. Mount up with wings like eagles. And you ever seen an eagle? They don't work at it. They don't flap their wings and all. They just soar. They just glide on the wind. They just glide around on the wind. And our pastor used to tell us that he studied a lot on eagles because he loved the animal, he loved the scripture, but he said they have an extra set of Ray-Bans, an extra set of eyelids that come over their eyes that if something gets, not much gets after an eagle because they're pretty top of the food chain, but if something gets after an eagle, they fly into the sun. And they have those Ray-Bans that they can see where they're going, and they fly into the sun, and whatever is chasing them loses track of where they're at because they can't see them in the sun. Yeah. Church, we just need to turn toward the Son. Turn toward the Son. That's all he, I feel the Spirit in that. No wonder he kept using that over and over again. All we got to do is turn toward the Son, right? Wait upon him, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. You're not going to be tired. You're not going to be wore out. Amen. Outside of this, even young men are going to be wore out. Amen. People commit suicide all the time because they're wore out. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to turn to, right? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Just wait upon the Lord. Just wait upon the Lord. Get in that fortress. Get under those wings. Amen. Spend time with him. We're led by peace. We're led by peace. This came from the Spirit. You should write this down if you're taking notes. You know why we're led by peace? Satan can't replicate that. He can't replicate that. He can come against you. He can oppose you. He can give you all these things that might look good for a little while, but they're going to take you down. Sin will take you down. He'll give you things that they're a cheap substitution. But the Spirit leads us through peace because Satan can't replicate that. There's no way. He don't have peace. He don't have peace. He knows he's defeated. He knows where he's going. He knows the word better than you know the word. He's read it. He knows what happens in the end. He don't have peace, so he can't give you peace. But the Spirit can give you peace, so we're led through peace. Now, you don't have to have peace in your mind, but you better have peace in your spirit. Amen? If your spirit says, do this, and your mind says, oh, that doesn't make sense, shut up, mind. I take authority over you. I'm following my spirit, man. I have peace in my spirit, and I know that's the Holy Ghost, and I'll follow after him. Amen. I'm just going to rest in what he says. I don't have to worry about it. Amen. You can send me all the letters you want to send me. You can say all the things you want to say. You can make all the threats you'd like to. But I know what God says, and I know what his word says. Amen. And I'll rest on that, and I'll have peace in that. And you just figure out how you're going to do it. I don't know. That should be our attitude, right? You figure that out, because I know what God says. And I'm in my fortress. Matthew 14, 22 through 31. A lot of scriptures I told you today. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples. Now, he was out teaching. And immediately, he made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So he sent away all the ones he was preaching to, and he had his disciples get into the boat and go to the other side. Now, if Jesus tells you to get in the boat and go to the other side, there shouldn't be nothing to worry about. Amen? You shouldn't get into fear. Fear is a spirit, right? And if Jesus tells me to make a motion, why do I have to worry about what the foul spirits think about it or what they want to do about it or what their opinion is? I don't. I don't need to. Only if I get my mind off, my focus off what Jesus said to me. Only if I get my focus off what God's word says to me, right? And 23 says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Notice that even Jesus needs to get along and have time with God. Yeah. Church, we have to get alone and have that time with God. That's what I was talking about this morning, that time in his presence. You have to get alone. I don't care where that's at, how you do it. You have to have time. It's critical as a Christian that you have time alone with God. Right. If you don't, you cannot grow. Right. If you don't, you cannot develop into what God has for you. Amen. You cannot live next to the spiritual realm without having time with him, without getting alone in his presence. Jesus did it all the time. If it's good enough for him, I'd say it's good enough for me. Wouldn't you think, Brother Dan? And he got in the word and he studied the word all the time. By the time he was 12 years old, he was in the temple and he was reading of the scrolls, reading of the manuscripts and things. Amen. He was in the word and he was in prayer all the time. It's critical, church, that we have time alone. It's critical that we have time in prayer. Now, you can listen to podcasts. I'm not knocking podcasts. Podcasts are awesome. They're great. But they don't take the place of this. You cannot substitute time in the Word and time with God. Amen? Can't be done. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Now, this sea, we know, is the Sea of Galilee, but it also represents the Sea of Life. Amen? Because we can see things in the Word. We know, well, we got to do this. Or God might tell us something in our spirit that says, oh, we got to do this. I got to step out on this thing in faith or that thing in faith, right? And you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to try to shake you up. He's going to try to get the thing rocking, right? He's going to try to get you into fear. Fear is going to come along and try to throw the brakes on that thing because they know what God said to you. Yeah. Amen? Tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. It's the Sea of Life also. Now in the fourth watch of the night. Now this fourth watch of the night was, now this came out to me this time that I had not seen this before. was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. Now, do you know what it looks like at 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning? In the middle of a storm? It is dark. In the middle of the storm, there's overcast, so there's no moon, there's no stars. They did not have streetlights in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Amen? Where we live, we don't have streetlights. If the moon's not shining, it's black dark. It gets dark. Amen? Now, you picture this. No lights at all out there in the middle of the sea, so it's dark in the middle of this storm. Amen? In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now, one commentary as I studied this week says, even though the waters were very turbulent, where he walked were calm. Now, think about that. I've never thought about that before, but I can't imagine Jesus was out there getting tossed around. I think they're probably right. I don't have a scripture for that, but I think they're probably right. I think it was calm around him, and he walked out there, and he was Joe Cool. Amen? And I don't mean Joe Burrow. If y'all watch football, you know what I'm talking about. So there's a quarterback in the NFL they call Joe Cool. His name's Joe Burrow. But however, that's not what I'm talking about. He walked out there, and I'm sure it was calm where he walked out. At 26, though, says, now I just want you to take note of that. It had to be very dark out there, pitch black, which would have played into fear coming into place. Right? When you can't see anything, and this boat's getting tossed, whatever, some scholars say this was a hurricane. You're out in the middle of this thing, and it's being tossed all over the place, and it's filling up with water. Amen? Now, these were experienced fishermen. They'd been out there all their lives. So for them to be freaked out, something was going down, right? 26 says, and when the disciples saw him on the sea, now how'd they see him? Think about that, though. It didn't stop raining, it says later on. It didn't stop raining until he got into the boat. So it was still overcast. They saw him. So what happens in thunderstorms? Lightning? So you think about how something is when it flashes. You've seen even scary movies before. I don't mean to bring that to your remembrance, but it might seem even more scary when you just see a flash of something, and you see a flash of somebody out on the water, and you see a flash of it. It had to either be that or the glory. And I think if the glory was there, it would have already quit raining. The storm would have stopped, and fear couldn't have been present. So I'm thinking it was lightning. That's just my own thinking. I don't have a scripture for that. But I'm thinking it was lightning is the way they could see him, right? They saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, or it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Now, we know fear is a spirit, right? Yeah. It's a spirit, and it's opposite of peace. So I can imagine they just sat in a service with Jesus as the preacher. They left there feeling good, right? They were on top. Can you imagine a service? Now, we've had some good services, but not like this, I'm sure. Right? So when they leave out of here and he says, go get in the boat and go to the other side, I'll meet you over there, they're feeling on top of the world. They got this, right? I'm imagining, because I do that with scripture a lot of times. I try to figure out how they were and what they were thinking and what was going on, right? You ever do that when you're studying the scripture? So to get into fear from there, we know that fear is the opposite of peace, right? So fear is in opposition of peace. The spirit of fear wants to come and take your peace, yeah. Right? But fear can't remain in the presence of peace. That's right. Amen? So if you remain in peace, fear has to go, right? Yeah. Because peace is in the presence of God. Yeah. You get that? Yeah. It cannot remain in the presence of peace because peace is in the presence of God. So if we stay in the presence of God, if we stay in our fortress, if we stay under his wing, fear cannot, it has no hold on us. It has no place in our lives. I feel the spirit in that. You like that? Fear has no place. It wants to oppose your peace, but if you stay in God's presence, it don't have a thing for you. Amen? But immediately, 27 says, immediately, as soon as they got into fear, Jesus said, hey, Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. I can imagine they're out there freaking out thinking they're going to die. And he's speaking like, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Amen. He's commanding them. He's giving them a command. I don't mean to make light of that. I'm saying he wasn't freaked out. He wasn't in fear. Amen. Because he knew who he is. We are to face the adversary with cheer. Amen. We are to face the adverse conditions, circumstances, with cheer. How do you do that if you're not in peace? How do you do that if you're not in his presence, right? Knowing the Lord will handle it. My God's got this, bud. Go on back. Amen. Remember the other time when Jesus was out there with them in the boat? They were freaking out again that time. He's laying up at the front taking a nap. Yeah. Wondering why they're waking him up. I already told you boys we're going to the other side. What's the problem? Yeah. Stay in peace. Stay in peace, right? Our faith, our confidence is in him, right? We know that he's got this. Our faith and our confidence is in him. We are subject to fear when our confidence or our faith is anything else besides him. Amen. We're going to look at this again here in a minute. And Peter answered him, saying, Lord, if it is you, and some of the commentary I read said this should have been translated, Lord, since it is you, because they knew it was him then. And Peter's confidence came up quite a bit. You command me to, since it is you, command me to walk on the water. So Peter's confidence went from thinking he was going to die and to, Lord, call me out of the boat. I want to walk out there with you. Amen. So they must have knew that it was him. He no longer thought he was going to die. Amen. Because his focus went from the storm to God. He got back into his refuge. He got back under the wing, right? His focus was on this. His faith was on that. When they were in the storm and it was rocking them around, they thought they were going to die. What was their faith on? We're going to die. Amen. They believed they were going to die. Because Peter was in the presence of God, and in the presence of God, focused on his faith changed. When he called him out of the boat, he started focusing on Jesus. That focus, what his faith was on, changed to Jesus. And we see in the next verse, Jesus responds to his faith. When he says this, so he said, come. One word. Come out then. Your faith is on me. You're focused on me now. Come. Come in the storm. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, notice his focus changed back off of Jesus, back onto the problem, back onto the sea of life. Amen. This is what happens to us, church, all the time. But we can't make it from Sunday to Sunday without our focus getting back on the sea of life. We're on top of the world when we leave here and the Spirit's moved and God's good and he's amazing and he healed four or five people here Wednesday night. But then by the time we get back on Sunday, we have issues again because our focus moves from that back to here. We saw who he was. Sister Sue was out in the parking lot yesterday doing this. And Sister Sharon had a neck issue and before we left, she said, hey, Pastor, watch this. And she moved her head side to side. God healed some people here Wednesday night. But by the time he healed... Yeah, Sister Michelle, by the time we get back here on Sunday, we hear people have issues again. He's doing this to show us who he is, but then our focus changes. He goes back to the wind as boisterous. He looks back to the wind as boisterous. He was afraid. He went from looking at Jesus and walking on water straight back into fear. Isn't that how it happens? It's pretty quick, too. Bam. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. His attention switches from Jesus to the wind. Now, in Jesus, there's peace, there's joy, and our faith is there, right? Our confidence is there. In the wind, there's fear. You know, the fear is a big blowhard. It's good that God chose wind to represent him because he's a big blowhard. Yeah. Amen? He really don't have anything anyway. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Amen. We must not allow circumstances to take our focus off of our faith. Yeah. Amen. We're a faith church, right? So we must not allow the circumstances to take our focus off the faith and bring fear and doubt. Right. When there's fear and doubt in the situation, remember this. You see how he operated here. He operates the same in our lives. If there's fear and doubt and unbelief involved in it, it is not God. Turn your focus back to him. Go back to your prayer closet and have time with him, that alone time. Get into your word and read, not just a little bit, read until you're wore out, tired, take a nap, wake up and read it some more. Amen? But when this happens, get in his presence. Get in his presence. There's peace in his presence. There's joy in his presence. There's victory in his presence. And when we remain in his presence, our focus can remain on faith. You see, we don't have to live this way. We don't have to get into fear and doubt and unbelief. If we remain in his presence, our focus can remain on him. The Bible doesn't say Jesus carried Peter back to the boat. You ever catch that? It doesn't say that. Do you think he walked on water again after Jesus caught him? I'd say he probably did. He wants to lift us up today. If you've fallen, that's okay. I used to say this all the time. I haven't said it in a while. There's no shame in falling down. The shame is if you don't get back up. Amen. Job 22 and 21. This is an Amplified Classic Edition I'm going to read you today. Acquaint yourself with him, agree with God, and show yourself to be conformed to his will. Got that part? Now let's see what's tied to it. And be at peace. Notice the peace is tied to that. Acquainting yourself with God. You got to know him, right? You got to agree with his will, agree with his plan, be conformed to it. Not just agree with it, you got to apply it. Yeah. It has to be conformed to it. And be at peace that you shall prosper and great good shall come to you. Who doesn't want to prosper and have great good come to them? Amen. All you got to do is acquaint yourself with him. Get acquainted with God. Know who he is. Know his plan for you. Agree with his plan, then step into his plan. Amen. Matthew 15, 36 through 37. Am I boring y'all yet?
No.
Matthew 15, 36 and 37. This is right after Jesus fed the 4,000. And he took seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks and broke them. Or this is right when he was doing it. And broke them and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. The disciples had to keep returning to him. Notice that? He's the source. He's the source. He didn't give them of the fish or the bread one time, and they went out and fed 4,000 people. Now, I believe this was just 4,000 men, but there was a multitude of people there. There was a lot more than 4,000. You can't carry that much, right? You ever seen a waiter or waitress and they got a big serving tray and stuff, and I can't imagine they brought serving trays out here with them. So they had to serve what they could carry and go back to Jesus, and then take it back out and serve what they could carry and go. Notice their focus had to stay on him. They had to keep going back to the source, right? So they all ate and were filled. Who decided how much they were ate before they were filled? They ate until they were satisfied. So you can have as much of this as you'd like to. Amen. If you're satisfied where you're at, you'll stay where you're at. Amen. It is important. This isn't even my notes, but the Spirit is quickening me to say this. It is important where you connect at. Pastor Brendan talked about this in Sunday school this morning. It is important for you to be part of a local church. Yes, yes. Amen? Not just any local church, not one that's near your house, one where God has called you to. God places you in the local body, one where you can be fed at, one that preaches the whole Bible, right? It's important that you get in that church and that you don't miss services. It's important that you attend that church faithfully. It's important that you tithe that church faithfully. Amen? It's important that you get under a pastor. It's important that you take what he teaches and apply it to your life. Now, we can talk about all these things and we can teach all these things, and you can go out of here and it can mean nothing to you. Amen? You can say, boy, that was good, but it doesn't really change your life. But when you get connected and when you get hooked up and you come back again and you learn and you come back again and you learn and you come back again and you learn, it begins to change your life and you begin to look different and you begin to act different and things start to go differently for you. Amen? That's all part of it. That's all part of it. But people that want to dabble around in church and maybe go here or go there and not be really under the pastor, they need counseling. They have a lot of issues. They have a lot of problems. You follow what I'm saying? And their answer is right here. It's being preached. I'm not saying just in this church, but your answer is being under man of God. That's why God gave us pastors. Amen? That's why he gave us the fivefold ministry. You know that people that are here all the time and people that are applying the word all the time and they're taking notes, they're getting in the word, and they're doing these things, they don't need counseling sessions. They don't need them because the answer is right here in the local church. Now let's go. I said that, I don't know why, because the Spirit gave it to me. But also, one other thing that goes along with this, when he fed those, when Jesus was feeding those, in every time that he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000, he had them spread out basically in companies. I forget the word the Bible uses, but he put them out there, and that represented the local church. So Jesus was showing us a picture of the local church when he was feeding those people. So that word comes down from heaven through the pastor and into the church. Amen. So we need that. It's vital to us if we want to be Christians and we want to walk in that. So they ate and they were all filled, and they took up seven large baskets of fragments that were left. And that tells me the seven large baskets in his presence, there's more than you need. There's more than you need. There's a surplus there. You don't have to worry about it. There's more than you need there. Notice the fullness of joy. Notice the peace that surpasses understanding. In his presence, there's more than you need.
Yes.
There's more peace than is required, right? There's more peace than is required. There's more faith or more fullness of joy. There's more joy than is required because it's in his presence, right?
Yeah.
To stay in peace And joy, you have to get in his presence. Amen. How long, you ask? Well, as long as it takes. As long as it takes. If you're too busy to get there, you probably ain't going to get there. Amen. If you're worried about how long do I got to do this, you're probably not going to achieve it anyway. As long as it takes. It depends on where you're at. Amen. It depends on how long it's been since you've been there. You can also get jump started today. That can happen today. You can get jumped. You can move. You can cover 20 years of lack in a short period of time with the Holy Ghost. You follow what I'm saying? So how do you stay in peace? Brenda asked me this week. We had some things happen, and she had got out of peace a little bit, and she talked about it in Sunday school, so I'm not telling you anything. And her attitude got a little bad. And I'm going to tell the whole story. And I said, you need to get in his presence. That's what you need to do. Your peace is in his presence. And she said, I know that. And she did know that, but she wasn't exercising it. Sometimes we have to hear it again so that we know, oh, yeah, we got to have a reminder. Not saying that she did, because she's pretty good, but maybe she needed a reminder, right? And she said to me, how do you stay in peace? Because I never got out of peace. When this thing happened, it didn't bother me, because I had been spending a lot of time each day in his presence, right? I never got out. She said, how do you stay in peace? You stay in his presence. It's that simple. You stay in his presence. You live next to the spiritual realm. I've talked to you about this before. If this is the spirit realm and this is the natural realm, I have to go to work. I have kids I have to discipline. I got to do things with. We got to feed them. So I got to come to this. I got to come to the natural realm. I have to do that. But I got to spend time in the spiritual realm too. If I want to be a Christian and I want to walk. Now, a lot of people call themselves Christians. I'm not talking about just your run-of-the-mill thing. I'm talking about maturing spiritually. I'm talking about growing up. I'm talking about being his peace, his joy, his provision. All those things that the word says we have, I have to get in. If I want to have a relationship, I have to get in the spiritual realm. Then I have to go back. And then I can come back over here. But if I let myself get way back over here, it's going to take me longer to get back over there, you see? And this is dry, so I got to push, and I got to push, and I got to push, and I got to discipline myself. And sometimes maybe I got to kick myself, and I got to keep going. And you all have been there, right? I'm not the only one that's done this. And you got to keep pushing and keep pushing. And then when you get back over here, man, it's exciting. Man, it's good. It's so good to be right here. Amen? So what I'm talking about by living in next to the spirit realm is we got to come here, but let's get right back. And then when we got to step out, let's get right back. And I'm not saying step out over here and get in sin and do whatever you want to do. I'm saying we got to take care of life. It requires this body, and I got to do things, right? But then come right back. But then you get it, and then you come right back. So I live right here. And when I live right here, it makes me hungry for here. It makes me want more, so I begin to dedicate more time to this, being in his presence, right? And when I dedicate more time and more time, I may put down some TV shows or whatever's taking my time up over time. You get what I'm saying? I may start putting some of those things aside and getting into his presence more. And then when those storms come, when those things come, they don't even shake me. They don't even rattle me because I'm in peace. I already know what God's word says. I already know what God said to me in my spirit. Besides only having his word, not that I'm downplaying his word, but besides having his word, when you spend time over here, he'll drop things in your spirit, man. Yeah. Amen? And when you know what God said in your spirit and you know what God's word says, you can be confident and you can be bold in it. You hear me? Some people might think you're arrogant, and my wife says I'm cocky sometimes in what he said to me, but I know what God says. I'm not arrogant in myself. I know what God said to me. I know it lines up with his word. And so what are you going to do about it? Amen? She's thinking, don't encourage him. But that's just how it is. When God says it to me, that settles it. It's done. It's done. I have that much faith in him, that much confidence in him. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. Don't take it for that, because I might be back over here tomorrow. And then I got to push back. But we have to recognize it. You got to recognize it and know, hey, something's off. I'm out of peace. I'm out of my faith. Something's just, I got to get back over here. I got to get back over here and lay down whatever it takes, put it aside, and come back to here. Somebody else is upset because I'm over here. That's all right. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. I got to get back where my God said. I got to get back in my peace and my joy. Really, I can come over here and I can spend more time with my family and my wife and stuff even. I have to sacrifice a lot of time because of being a pastor. I could spend more time with my family over here, but over here I'm a lot better for them. Yeah, right. They like me a lot better over here. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Because you know what happens when you get in the flesh. All kinds of stuff starts happening. Things start falling apart. Wheels fall off of it. Yep. Amen. So I hope that spoke to all of you today. It really spoke to me a lot. If you're here today, can I get everybody to stand up? Ladies, would you come up and do something a cappella here in just a second? I know it's getting late, but I don't care.